Our next guest is Ron Kaplan, and Ron is with the Ohio Air and Space Hall of Fame, but you have many irons in the fire.
Yes.
Let's start with the B-25 and your nose art, Destination Tokyo.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's been just a blast. So, there's a little background. I've dealt with the Doolittle Raiders. Actually, I first dealt with the Raiders and Jimmy Doolittle in 1981 at their reunion in Columbus, Ohio, my hometown. And then over the years with my art business, I did artwork with the Raiders after General Doolittle passed. And they've had many reunions. And, of course, a couple were in Dayton, Ohio, where I now live. And we had the B-25 gatherings. And my job for those gatherings was to be the media coordinator at Grimes Field and coordinate with the Air Force public affairs people when the airplanes were taken off and landing at the Air Force Museum. So I did that a couple of times. And in that process, Larry Kelly, who owns Ponchito, worked with him because he was kind of the lead for that for the B-25 pilots and got to know Larry well. And so over the years, did a lot with the Raiders and Larry. So I got this call from Larry last year saying, you're going to get a call about doing nose art on a B-25. And I haven't painted on an actual airplane in 20 years. Yeah. I do aircraft aluminum all the time and jackets. So that was kind of cool. And I get Jim Martinelli from the Warbird shop called and said, we've got this restoration and we understand you're authorized to paint the Doolittle Raider insignia. And that's why they'd called Larry. He's also the manager of the Doolittle Raiders Association. And that's a trademark emblem, and they're very, very protective. And I guess he basically said, you have to call Ron Kaplan to paint it. So that's how it all happened. And I went out last October to Santa Maria. And while I was out there, painted not only that, but they said, can you paint the name on the other side? So really cool project because my dad was a B-25 pilot instructor. He's passed, but super cool, especially since that airplane is amazing. It's a 1942, you know, out of the factory B-25D model. The owner, Hugo Mathis from Switzerland, is just a big Doolittle buff and wanted to honor them. So it's not in the markings of one of the 16 aircraft.
Right.
It's kind of a tribute aircraft. And just super cool to be associated with it and see it here, of course.
Yeah. It's here on the Warbird ramp?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And be here all week?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Not flying in the show, but come out and see it. You know, the it's number one B-25 in the row there. And it's just spectacular. And they got a nice display out in front about the history of it.
Well, you mentioned your dad being a B-25 pilot and instructor. Was he able to... relate any good stories to you about instructing in the B-25? Did you talk about his experiences?
Yeah. In fact, I met someone from Waco, Texas, on the tram the other day, and I said, well, my dad was at Waco at the end of the war. Yeah. He was in the Southeast Training Command, and he told a story that they were in the air when it was announced that the war ended. And he said, we almost lost a bunch of crews because everybody immediately tried to land at the same time when they heard, you know, because they put it over the radio. And the other story he told me was they trained French pilots.
Okay.
And he said numerous times the tower would be yelling at them to put the gear down. And see, they were used to flying a lot of fixed gear aircraft, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't speak English. And we didn't speak French. So they bellied in a bunch of B-25s teaching the French to fly them over here. So those are some of the training stories I heard.
And I'm sure that probably propelled your life and career trajectory into aviation.
It did. Yeah. Well, I was kind of born with the art, you know, creative gene, and then being an airplane guy. So I don't know if I've related this before, but I still have the note from my fifth grade teacher to my parents saying that Ronnie spends more time drawing Spads and the Red Baron in the margins of his math lesson than doing the lesson. And my parents basically said he could be doing worse things.
Right.
So that's kind of the environment I grew up in. Very blessed, and blessed to be still doing drawings of Spads and the Red Baron.
Good. What was the first piece of aviation nose artwork that you did?
Well, it was the Varga Pinup Girls.
Okay.
And it was when I decided to learn how to paint jackets. So I got some scrap leather because I didn't want to ruin a jacket.
Right.
And started painting, you know, replicating the Varga girl. So it was, I still have those pieces, by the way. But you'd recognize them if you saw them. And then the first jacket I did was a Varga and Misbehavin' and the Girl on a Bomb, you know, typical. But, yeah, and it just kept going from there.
How do you do that? Do you draw the outline first? Do you just start painting?
What's the process? If it's a jacket, I make a template.
Okay.
And I use cardstock instead of paper because it's a little sturdier. Right. And you variously using chalk pencils or a paint pen if I need to, and then put the base coat of white. I paint with acrylics.
Okay.
And I put the base coat of white down. But the key with jackets, I'll tell everybody, it's no secret, you have to strip the dye and the oil off the area you're going to put the paint on first. Everyone thinks you paint it and then you seal it.
Yeah.
The sealing has nothing to do with longevity. It's that first step is real tedious work, and I use lacquer thinner. Some people use other, you know, things to get that off.
But. Yeah. And is that how they did it during the war as well? Or did they just
paint? They did every manner of thing, and they were using in England. You could go to an art store,
right?
But in the Pacific, I talked to some nose artists, and they were taking clear lacquer and crushing berries to get red, color of red, and then they would paint it on with. One guy told me the brushes were made by natives from the butt hair of pigs. I didn't question that, but. But he said, they would paint something on a B-24 and it might go through a thunderstorm and half of the art would come off because, they just didn't have the right stuff.
But, wow.
Yeah.
Talking with Ron Kaplan from the Ohio Air and Space Hall of Fame. And you are the founder of this project. Find it kind of interesting that Ohio, which is kind of sort of the birthplace of aviation, between North Carolina and Ohio, there's a little competition.
Yeah.
But there hadn't been something like that established before.
No, and what came about is the Port Columbus Air Terminal, which was built in 1929, was at risk of being torn down. Now the airport owns it, and they were saying basically if someone saves it, they got to find a tenant. So people did at least save it in terms of putting a new roof on and remediating the mold.
Right.
And then I came along and was fortunate enough to get a state grant that is the nucleus of what is now a real organization, a 501c3. And we're raising the money to renovate the building into not only the Hall of Fame, but a learning center on the second floor. So we've got some investment from NetJets and Flight Safety, but we need a lot more.
Right.
It's now a $10 million project, and $7.5 million is just for the renovation.
Right.
But when it's done, it'll be state-of-the-art, and the site itself is on the National Register of Historic Places. Eric Lindbergh is here.
Yes.
Charles Lindbergh picked the site of Port Columbus in 1928, and then it was opened in 1929. So there's a heritage there that we've got to protect and preserve. And I was driving in here this morning, and a T-2 Buckeye flew over. I saw it as a sign because my temporary office is in the very building down the street where they built Buckeyes and OV-10s and F-100s at North America.
Sure.
So, the Port Columbus itself is historic, but we're going to represent the whole state of Ohio's history of aviation.
Great. Hey, you mentioned the Learning Center. Have you already started maybe thinking about what kind of programming you'll put in there?
The beauty is Central Ohio, in particular, has multiple youth programs already up and running and established. And their problem is they don't have a home. So we will be a physical home for these existing programs. We're not going to reinvent them.
Okay.
And they're Buckeye Tigers, Youth Aviation Adventures, Urban Aviators, of course, Civil Air Patrol. We've got EAA Chapter 9. There's all manner of organizations that would love to have our facility right on the airport for their use. And Flight Safety is donating to state-of-the-art Frasca flight simulators.
Okay.
So, and I understand we've got some unmanned aerial vehicle type simulators coming as well.
Good. What's the time frame on this? I suppose a lot of it depends on fundraising.
Yeah, well, I started the project 8 years ago, so I thought it would be done in 4. But the 100th anniversary of Port Columbus, which is now John Glenn International, is 2029. And so we're fortunate the new administration is working with us. Everybody's eyeballing that 100th anniversary. That's when they open their new $2 billion John Glenn International Airport. And then we're hopeful, they are as well, that we will be at least up and running to some degree for that 100th anniversary celebration.
Right.
And that tri-motor, tri-motor. That tri-motor that you hear was at Port Columbus on the opening in July 8th, 1929. Yeah. That was one of three tri-motors sitting out on our ramp.
I was just going to point that out because I knew it was back there.
That was perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
Cue the tri-motor.
Oh, what other things are you involved in?
Gosh. Yeah, it just too much. But, you know, the art business is good.
Good.
Now that I did this nose art, you know, I've got some people asking if I could do theirs. I got to figure out if I can add that to my to-do list. But you know, this is non-negotiable being here all week.
Yeah.
It's been great. Oh, and I donated some art to the Young Eagles auction. I don't know what it went for last night. Hopefully a lot of good money to the Young Eagles program from that.
So. Good. Ron, if people want to find out more about the Air and Space Hall of Fame, is there a website?
Yep. Ohio Air and Space, all spelled out, .org. OhioAirandSpace.org. And we're going to revamp that site soon, but you'll see some pictures on there that show it back in 1929 and some renderings of what it'll look like when it's completed.
Excellent. Ron? Great to catch up with you again. Enjoy the rest of your week here at AirVenture.
Thank you. Great to see you, Steve.
All right. This is From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and this is EAA Radio.